Jesus makes a number of incredibly bold claims in the Gospel of John. They're incredibly bold. And if these claims weren't true, they would make Jesus one of the most arrogant liars or one of the most outrageous lunatics to have ever lived on this earth. Listen to some of these. "Whoever drinks the water I will give will never thirst. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. The Father and I are one. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And in our gospel today, Jesus claims, "I am the light of the world." Friends, these are not claims merely of a great moral teacher, someone like Socrates or Confucius. No, they are either claims of a liar, a lunatic, or the Lord God himself. This is what the great Christian writer C.S. Lewis once argued. None of the great moral figures in the earth's history claim to be divine. None of them claim to be the truth itself or life itself. None of them claim to give their own body and blood as food and drink. And yet Jesus did. What do we make of this? When faced with these bold claims in the Gospel of John, the people of Jesus' time were divided. They, like many people in history, thought that Jesus might be a liar. They thought he might be a lunatic. Some thought he was the Lord God himself. Jesus' words and then those actions that followed those words led to division among the people. Some rejected Jesus and some remained with him. In John chapter 6, Jesus claims that his flesh and blood are true food and true drink, and all but the 12 leave him. In John chapter 10, he claims that he is equal to the Father, and people try to stone him. In John chapter 11, he claims to be the resurrection and the life. He then raises Lazarus from the dead to prove this, and then the Jewish authorities hatch a plot to kill Jesus. Jesus makes some bold claim. He follows that bold claim with some bold action, and this leads to division. And we see this same pattern in our gospel today. Jesus claims to be the light of the world. He claims not only to be something which can be seen, like the sun, but the something by which everything else is seen. This is such a bold claim. And then Jesus follows this bold claim. He proves this bold claim by healing the blind man, the man who was blind from birth. And guess what happens? Division follows. Jesus makes this bold claim. He does something incredibly bold, and people are divided. The man who was once blind, his neighbors, they're divided over whether this man is the same man who was actually born blind. The Pharisees are divided over whether Jesus is someone from God or whether he is a sinner. And then we see at the end of the gospel how the man who was once blind and the Pharisees get in the same argument over whether Jesus is from God or whether he is a sinner. What are we to make of this? Jesus Christ, who he is, what he says, what he does, confronts us with a choice. And it's a stark choice, a choice between light and darkness, between truth and error, between eternal life and condemnation. And an authentic encounter with the person of Jesus Christ, an authentic encounter with him in the Gospels, with his words and his actions, which are so incredibly bold, It's meant to bring out, to call forth a decision in us, a decision hopefully for light, for truth, for eternal life. But of course, some tragically choose otherwise. This is what Jesus means in our gospel today when he says that he came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see might see, and those who do see might become blind. Jesus confronts us with a choice, a verdict, a judgment between believing and not believing, between sight and blindness. Friends, we can't simply remain neutral when it comes to Jesus. We can't simply regard him as a nice man, as a great moral teacher. We either have to make the decision of the blind man to believe in Jesus and to fall down and worship before him, or to make the decision of the devil who says, "I do not believe, I will not serve," and turn our back on Jesus. The good news, however, is that God gives us the grace to make this decision for him. He gives us the grace to make the decision to believe in him, the decision to choose light over darkness, truth over error, eternal life over condemnation. And he gives us this grace in baptism. This is the grace that we call faith. In baptism, we, each and every one of us, like the blind man, are anointed and washed. We, like the blind man, are enlightened by Christ. That's what the baptismal candle symbolizes. The blindness that we had from our birth, the blindness of original sin, is illuminated, and the gifts of faith, hope, and love are poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And they are poured into our hearts so that we might not be children of darkness, error, or condemnation, but as St. Paul says, children of light, children of truth, children of eternal life. All this happens at our baptism, and all of this will happen to two of our RCIA elect who will be baptized at the Easter Vigil. In just a few moments, we're going to pray for our RCIA elect. We're going to pray that they be led from darkness into light and that they be cleansed from their sins. In other words, we're going to pray that Jesus will do for them exactly what he did for the blind man. We're also going to anoint the RCIA elect, not with clay, not with mud, thankfully, but with oil. They're going to be anointed like the blind man. And soon some of them will be washed like the blind man, freed from original sin, free from all sin, so they can be children of light. You know, each and every day, friends, we're confronted with the choice. Each and every day, Jesus confronts us with the choice to choose him or to choose otherwise. And this happens in every thought we think, every word we say, everything we decide to do or leave undone. Every single one of those things is a choice, ultimately, for Jesus or away from him. Over the next week, I want to invite all of you, I want to challenge all of you to look up your baptismal promises. Google them, you'll find them. Look up your baptismal promises. These are the promises that we'll be renewing at Easter. They're the promises that a couple of us will be making for the first time at Easter. I challenge you to pray with these promises and ask God for the grace to continue to renounce Satan and all his works and all his empty show, and to ask God for the grace to believe in him, to choose him, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.